accepted him into the heavenlies, seated him at his right hand, which proves that not only is he is God together with God the Father. Oh, man. Now, you ready for this? You're not going to like me on this one. That song we just sang, it's a good song. I like it. I'm leaving that up for the whole service. Amen? Let's say it one more time. You ready? We are well able to overcome it. I want to take you there. But that song that we just sang, remember his love, right? Think about his love. Listen, everybody here who's a born-again, spirit-filled child of God knows his love. Everyone here knows he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's reigning, don't we? Amen? But how many of us right now can say, I have overcome it? Knowing his love and knowing that he reigns is only part of what God has done and what is required of us. Okay. Amen? Because the idea is that we live in this world, even though we're not of this world, we're in this world, and we need to live a life that reflects the reigning King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When the children of God are living in a defeated life, they bring no glory to the Father. Amen? We are called to be overcomers of it. Now, and I'll explain what the it is in a minute. It's many things, but there's one thing in particular that I want you to know. All right? Now, how do we get to this place? We're going back to what I thought we were finished last week with entering into his rest. But God has something else in mind. I hope I'm starting to have a back feed here again. Could you fix that, please? Thank you. I want to start with this first. Because there are people who look at the Old Testament and say, "Ah, that's the Old Testament. We're under the New Testament. We got all this stuff." I want to read this to you. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. He's talking about the Old Testament fathers. All were baptized into Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink as us. All right? Let me go on. For they drank of that spiritual rock, followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them, as it is written. So he is saying to us, even though you're a born-again Christian, these things are operating in some of their lives. All right? They were given to us in the Old Testament. He was giving examples to us of what not to do. Now, this is all going to come together as you go on. So give me a moment here. I was going to say give me a break, but give me a moment here. Now, verse 6, now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Do not become idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat, drink, and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. All of these things are possible for the church, right? Listen to this. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained. Anybody ever complain? No. And were destroyed by the destroyer. Holy cow, we opened the door to him. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. They were given to us, written down, so that we have an idea what doesn't please God and what we need to overcome it. What do we need to do to overcome it? Amen? So don't look at what we're going through here. Yeah, that's the Old Testament. But understand, we look there. Too many of us have an example of looking at other people and then judging. Look in the Word and start judging yourself. Amen? Amen? So that we're not going to come short. He said in Hebrews 3 and 4 that we fail to enter into that rest. The rest is the eternal rest he's talking about, but it's also the rest for today, what we talked about last week. Getting a rest for our minds, our souls. Too many of us are out there complaining and murmuring, doing things we should not be doing, having idols, things that are more important to us than God himself. Yes, we know he loves us, but that isn't enough for you to get into heaven. You know, you understand that. He loved the whole world. He died for the whole world, but not the whole world isn't going up. Just because he loves us, and we know he loves us, does not make you an overcomer. Because he reigns, because he did what he did, and how God raised him up, and he is seated in heavenly places, high above all principalities, rulers of darkness, world, evil, wicked spirits in the heavenly, because he has been given all authority, doesn't mean that you're operating in that authority. Or you're seeing the fullness of that authority operating in your life. Understand, you have been given great, great authority. Great authority. Amen? You've been given great authority. The same authority Jesus Christ had while he walked this earth has been given to you. You understand that? There's such great power available to us. Great power. When Paul was praying for the Ephesian church, Father, that they would know the exceeding greatness of the power toward those who believe. There's an exceeding greatness. He didn't just say great power, exceeding great power. So great is that power, you can speak to a mountain and it has to be moved. Now, that's not just a metaphor. That's not just say, oh, yeah, talk about. No. If Jesus had spoken to that mountain just like he spoke to that tree, the mountain would have crumbled into dust right in front of you. That's the power you have available to you. You understand that? But knowing it is not sufficient. Amen? So we're looking at these things and we're saying, okay, Lord, go to number 13 with me. We're going back, hallelujah, where the nation of Israel missed their opportunity. Let me tell you something, my friends. Don't miss your opportunity. You understand what I'm saying to you? There are times in your life that all of a sudden something opens up to you. And you have that power and authority available to you. And all of a sudden you recognize it. Don't let it go by. Operate in it. Step out into it. Because the longer you wait, the more influence you get from the world. And whether you like this or not, more influence you get from the church. Because too many of the church aren't operating. And they're not trying to draw you up to their level. They're trying to bring you back down to their level. And when you start operating in this power and authority, what God has given you, all of a sudden, people will rise up against you. Who do you think you are? God doesn't just talk to you. Sound like anybody you heard of before called Miriam? Amen? Miriam? Moses' sister? Oh, who do you think you are, Moses? God speaks to all of us until God straightened her out. Yes, he does speak to all of us. But he said to Moses, I speak to face to face. Moses even had the distinct pleasure to be able to see his countenance, his form, not his face, but his form. Moses saw the form of God. Before the incarnate Jesus, he saw the form. Don't stand against somebody. Don't stand against anybody. When they're starting to stand up and say, I see. I see what God said. I start to see it. Don't stand against them. Encourage them.
Amen.
Because when they get to that point and they're operating in the power and authority God gave them, it might be able to heal you. You understand? Might help deliver you from where you're at. May help provide for your needs. Encourage them. And then as you see them rise up, you grab a hold of them and say, I'm coming with you. Amen? When Moses saw Joshua saw Moses, he didn't try to pull Moses down. He said, let me stay with you. Matter of fact, when Moses would leave the tent out there, the tabernacle of meeting where he met with God, it said Joshua stayed there while Moses went off and did what God told him to do. Why? He wasn't about to miss it. He wasn't about to miss it. Why do you think we go to church? We ain't about to miss it. Because God's going to do something so great. You're going to get a taste of glory. And when you taste of that, you can't get enough of it. It's like a sugar rush. You're all over the place. And you're nowhere. Because in the presence of God, you're nothing. Not that you're nothing. You just don't, there's nothing, you're not thinking about you. You're not concerned. When you're in the presence of God, all you have is your thoughts on your mind with Him. Amen? Oh, God is going to do something big. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. There's some of you who have been believing God for things. The it. You've been believing for it. And you haven't seen it come yet. Now listen to what the message is today. This I didn't have this when I came here. God gave it to me during worship, before service. So what you're getting is straight off the press. Amen. This hasn't been, well, I can't say that because I'm always influenced by me too. Amen. I wish I could say it's pure. It isn't. It goes through this impure thing that only can be pure by the blood of Jesus, that God can bring it out. And we pray that that be it. Because this idea is, and we all agree with this, we're sick and tired of watching our people sick and tired. We're sick and tired of seeing lack in finances and peace of mind and joy. They're looking to the world to find their peace, their rest. They're going out to the world and say, oh, I got to go out there to find. No. Everything you need, God has already provided for you. Everything. And listen to me. When you taste of the goodness of God, the world doesn't taste as good as it used to. You understand what I mean? The world will leave you a bitter taste, and the Spirit of God will leave you a sweet, sweet taste. Oh, it's real. I'm telling you, it's real. Somebody, we're talking to someone the other day, and I forget who it was. We were talking about what we had experienced so many times, and it's something that keeps me going because I know that He's going to do even more than what He used to do. And so I don't want to miss it. You understand? I don't want to miss it. Why do I keep serving God and following Him? Because I don't want to miss it. Wednesday nights, just on a side note, we're doing messages on will carnal Christians go in the rapture? Will carnal Christians go in the rapture? I'll leave it at that. Amen? Hallelujah. Because we have no carnal Christians here, but, you know, we're getting the message out in here so they'll go out and talk to others that aren't here. Because these are just spiritual.
Right. Speak it.
Amen.
Amen.
Mighty men and women of valor. You are mighty.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. I've gotten off track too long now. Time to come back. You ready?
Okay.
Numbers 13. Remember what I said before? In Hebrews, it says, listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. If you have ears to hear, amen? That's what you want to do. You want to make sure. And I've told you this over and over and over. If you don't believe me, search out the scriptures. I got an email this past week. Said, well, I don't agree with what you said there. Praise God. It wasn't wrong. This is how I see it. And so I explained how I saw it. I didn't say she's wrong or he's wrong. I'm saying how I saw it. Now, you make up your own decisions. Got it? I'm not here to tell you how to live your life. I'm here to lead you to the shepherd. And the good shepherd will lead you beside still waters. The good shepherd will bring you into green pastures. Isn't it amazing? Green pastures are green. So is money. Oh. See, you know me. I'm not about money. But I'm going to tell you what. God knows your needs. And he said, I'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ever ask or hope for. So when you're hoping for $5 for gas, God wants to give you $100 so you can help other people. Because when you're lacking, you can't help people. Amen? This is about your willingness and your ability to do as God instructs you to do. Amen? All right, you ready? Number 13, and the Lord spoke to Moses. So God is saying this, right? God is saying this. Everybody agree? God is saying this. Look what he says after that. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. So let's make this clear. Everybody knows the story of the 10 spies? Let's make it clear right now. God gave them that land before they walked on that land. He said, I'm giving them that land. That means it's theirs. Right? We all agree it's theirs. All they have to do, now listen, God has given you promises. They're yours. The promise is yours. God promised them the land. In that promise, the fullness of the possession was there. It's already done. Every promise is already done. I got a call this week. Well, you know, this person keeps saying, how come God doesn't do this? How come God doesn't do that? It's already done. The promise you're looking for God to perform has already been performed. If you're waiting on God, you're going to wait a long, long, long time. Amen? You're going to wait a long time. God isn't moved by your need. God's moved by your faith. There's a whole bunch of people out here that have needs. There's a whole bunch in the church that has needs. Why isn't God moving? What did he say here? He said in Hebrews, he said, because of their unbelief. Unbelief in what? Unbelief in what? In his promise. In the promise, there's a bench. And there's a bench where you can sit and rest. In the promise, there's a rest for you. You're looking for somehow to get out from under this cloud of destruction, of distraught, of despondency, of all this. You're looking to get out. But God has said, I've got a son that's above the cloud. What moves the cloud? The wind. What is the symbol of the Holy Spirit? The wind. You sit down at rest under the promise. The Holy Spirit moves the cloud and the sun shines bright. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, that's cool. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, if you go through it, remember what we said last week, after you have suffered a while, he will establish you. That means he'll put you in the place of solid stance. You won't be moved. Are you going to suffer in this life? There's going to be times you will. But you don't have to live under the suffering. You can live under the sun, and you can feel the warmth of His goodness. You can feel the peace of His joy. You can look at Him and say, Lord, You are my Savior.
Yes, hallelujah.
But what we do is we look at the cloud and say, there is no sun. Having fun yet?
Yes.
Listen, if somebody in here is feeling bad because you missed it, stop feeling bad and just say, Father, forgive me. I'm going to get it right. Amen? Because God got it already right. He's not the problem. Okay, let me just say that. God's not the problem. Amen? He is never going to say to you, when you find that, oh, no, that's not for you. That promise is for them over there. That promise is for them over there. Well, yeah, but Father, I'm your child. I've been adopted into the family. I am heir and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Aren't the promises mine? Yes, they are. That's what God is looking for. We can worship all day long, and worship was great. I loved it. But when you come out from under the worship, now what? Now what are you going to do? It's not about a feeling. It's not about emotion. I don't want you to live by emotions and feelings. I want you to live by faith. Do you know who you are? You know who your God is. You know what God would not lie. And if He gave you a promise, He will perform that which He said He will do, and you will not be moved from that position. You will not be moved from that position. Yeah, but you don't know how much it hurts. I know. I know. Well, you don't know how hard it is. I know. I'm still working it out. I haven't got there fully yet. I can't say, oh, let's go over and sit on that bench and let the sun shine on me. I can't say that always. I struggle at times. I did it yesterday. I was struggling yesterday. Oh, man, I was coming. I'm not gonna say why. No. Because I don't think anybody would. But anyways, I was coming home. I go, Lord, I keep my mind on You. Hallelujah. Oh, I got to shut up. I can't say it. Never mind. I can't do it because I just can't. No, I can't. Okay, let me go on here. Where am I? Back here, 13. He said, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers, who shall send a man, everyone, a leader among them. Okay, go with me down to verse 30. Let me give you a couple. Hold it right there. You guys go there. And I want to look at, I know you're all reading verse 30, so do you notice anything up there? You see what's up there? Did you read 30? We are able. We are well able. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. Let me share something with you. Look at 2 Peter. I don't want to miss this because I want you to see it yourself. 2 Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 2, grace and peace multiplied to you. All right? We're saved by grace through faith, right? Now listen to me. God has given you grace sufficient to be saved, operating in your life. Now God wants you to get more grace. You understand? He doesn't want you to stay right there and say, I'm saved. God wants you to give you more grace. And along with the grace, what is grace? You know, we call unmerited favor of God, yes, yes, yes. But I like to look at it this way. It's God's manifested love in a person, in a believer's life. Grace is manifested love of God in a believer's life. That's my interpretation of it. It's the empowerment to live our life in a victorious manner on this earth. That's what it's all about. It's to overcome it. and you can increase in grace. Matter of fact, you can increase in grace to the extent you can actually turn around and start helping other people with their situations. Amen? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And then he said you can increase in peace too. How many need more peace? Yeah. Amen? Okay, let me go on here real quick. Grace and peace multiply to you in the knowledge of God. So how are you going to increase in grace and peace? The knowledge of God. You increase in the knowledge of God. If you're content where you are with the knowledge you have of God as your Savior, remember what I talked to you before about? Let Him be Lord, not just Savior. A lot of people are content to have Savior, but they're afraid if they allow Him to be Lord, they can't do what they want. There's things I like doing that I know He doesn't like, so I'm not going to let Him be Lord of my life. That was a hard one. Amen? But if God is trying to remove something from your life that's not good for you, because He's got something better He's trying to get to you. He's not just taking something away. He never just takes something away. He took what? He took your sin, but He gave you His righteousness. He always gives you something. If He's taking something, and how do you know He's taking it? Look, He's not going to go in and grab a hold of it and rip it out of you. You're going to have to ask Him to take it from you. I asked Him for years about some things in my life. There's some things when I first got saved, God just gone. Praise God. But there's been things in my life that I have fought with over and over. And I said, Lord, I can't. One day, He delivered me. Years it took. But He still did it. And He will do it for all of us. Have a willing heart. A willing heart. Amen? I can't spend too much time. I'm spending way too much time. Listen to this. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power, the Holy Spirit, has given to us how many things? All things. All things. All things that pertain to life. He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let me ask you a question. Is health part of your life? Is finances part of your life? All these things. Now, I'm not talking about, don't you get caught up in the things, but know that the things are yours. Like we said before, He said, I gave them the property. I gave them the promised land. I gave them all things necessary for a good and godly life. When you're lacking in something and you have no peace, you have no joy, there's something missing because God didn't ordain that for you. Amen? God did not, that wasn't His plan for your life. So if you see something that you're not seeing the fullness of it, it's not His fault. He didn't do that. People always say, well, if God is God and He loves everybody, why does He allow all these things? Because He does love us. Because He does love us, He gives us a free will to make choices. When Joshua was going into the promised land, he stood before the people. He said, listen, you choose this day. The gods of before, in other words, he's saying to us, you choose this day. Either you act and talk and walk like you did before you got saved, or come over to the other side and start living your life as if you got saved. That's what he was saying to them. But he said, as for me and my household, we made our choice. We're going to serve God. Well, part of my household isn't serving God. Don't matter. You do it. And pretty soon your whole household will do it. When they see the goodness of God in your life, when they stop seeing the complaining and the murmuring and all the dissatisfaction with all the things, all of a sudden you're worshiping Him and praising Him and giving Him thanks, and that other person says, what's wrong with you? I'm just so filled with the joy of the Lord. Pretty soon they're going to want what you got. Amen. The Bible says we provoke Jews to jealousy. Right? You can't provoke your own helpmate or your children to jealousy. Maybe you got nothing to be jealous of. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Okay. I don't know if it did. I don't know. I'm still stuck here, and I got to get past this. As His divine power, the Holy Spirit, the divine power is given to us, has given to us, not will give, not maybe give, sometime, He already did it.
Amen.
It's, come on now. Well, how come I ain't seen it? How come I'm not experiencing it? That's what we're trying to get to. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Lay, are you ready? Hallelujah. I'm trying to make a decision here. All right. Okay. So God has given us everything necessary for a good and godly life, right? In Joshua 1:15, don't go there, I'm going to read it to you. It says this: until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as He gave you. In other words, what happened was, they went into the land, the promised land, on one side of the river. Two tribes stayed on one side, 2.5 tribes really stayed on one side, and they were already had the land. They've already occupied it. It's all theirs already. But God said, because you are blessed already, you need to send your men over and help the others take the land on the other side of the river. All right? And that's what He's talking about here. He said, because you found rest, you already got it. He said, listen to this. As He gave you, that's how important the church is. Just because you found the victory should give you enough to be able to help someone else get the victory. That's what we're here about. It's not just telling people what they got to do. We're called to show them. And matter of fact, we're called to come alongside of them and fight the battle with them. That's what the church really is all about. Without that, many of us will go down in defeat. You can't fight what you've got to fight out there on your own. You can't do it. You'll grow weary. You'll go tired. All of a sudden some, discouragements come in because it's not going the way you think it should. And you can't, in those times of tiredness, you can't think of what God is saying. Your mind is all scrambled up and you're going this way and that way and all this. But I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. Then God brings one of your brothers or sisters alongside and said, this is what the Word says. Oh, yes, I forgot that. I went off on that. That's what we need each other. It's crucial. Amen? 1 could put 1,000 if like 2 could put 10,000. Glory to God. 2 or more agree on any one thing in Jesus' name, it shall come to pass. Amen? Glory to God. So we need each other. Okay. You ready? Let me go back here. Where was I? Okay. Am I back in Joshua? Oh, I was in Joshua. Okay. All right, let me finish reading Joshua. He says, until the Lord has given your brethren rest as He gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them, then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it. That's what the Word says. You go back and you can enjoy it. Once you happen to help the other one, you go back and enjoy it. Matter of fact, there's more joy when you see someone else get the victory at times than even your own. Because you've been living in the victory for so long, it just becomes natural. Now, when all of a sudden something isn't going the way God said it should, that's an aberration. That's something that's different. Not common. It's not common to be defeated. It's common to be victorious. It's uncommon to miss the mark. That's the way it should be. Amen? If every day we had to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps after having fallen and been defeated, he's going to get tired getting up. Amen? You notice? Do you know the scripture says that a good man falls down 7 times but gets back up? You know why he said 7? Number of completion. It took him 7 times to learn how to get victory. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen? isn't saying, oh, we can fall down seven times, get back up, yay. Well, what about the eighth and ninth and tenth time? Because I know people like that. Not in here. They hear me on the radio, not the radio, but the internet. Okay, let me go on. Where am I? Oh, finish Joshua. Okay, after you get the land and possession, enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Now listen to this. You ready? 1 Timothy 6, 17 and 19. Command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Notice, he is not chastising them for being rich. God doesn't care if you're rich. He just doesn't want the riches to be so important to you, you forget the living God. And that's what happens a lot of times. All right, but listen to this. Command those who are rich in the present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. How many of you know you're supposed to enjoy this life? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You should enjoy. This should be a glorious time. Hallelujah. So it was given to us to enjoy. Back to Numbers 13 now. What did I tell you to go, 30? Yeah, we're in Numbers 13 now. The spies had just come back. They walked through the land. They saw exactly as it was told them, a land, and they even admitted it. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. A land that it took two men to carry one bunch of grapes. Pomegranates, large, huge. Everything that God had spoken to them was real. Hallelujah. They talked about all the people who lived in the land. The land was occupied. It wasn't empty. Get that. The land was occupied. It wasn't empty. Verse 30. The people are complaining. The 10 spies. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take what? Possession. For we are well able to overcome it. Here's the problem. The promises are real. People see them. But they never learn to possess them. You never learn to possess them. We never learn to possess the promises. Let me tell you what possess means in this instance right here. You ready? It's in Hebrew, it's yarash. Yarash. Probably wrong. Means to occupy by driving out previous tenants and possessing in their place. By implication, it means to seize, to rob, to inherit, also to expel, to impoverish, to ruin, cast out, consume, destroy, disinherit, dispossess, drive out, enjoy, expel, without fail, seize upon. To succeed utterly. When you come to this place, and you will, if you're not there right at this moment, and you will look to the scriptures, and you'll look for the promise, and you start looking at it, and I'll give you a prime example. By his stripes, you were healed. Amen? Everybody knows that scripture, 1 Peter 2:24. Everybody knows that scripture. They stretched, we were here. But very few people possess it and make it theirs. And when you don't possess it, you don't drive out the demon of sickness. He'll stay occupying. You understand? God has called us to occupy, the Bible says, until he returns. That means we have to remove everything that's in place where it shouldn't be. And we take authority over it and make it remove out of. When you start possessing the promise, something happens. Something happens. The first thing is you start talking differently. Bible says that Jesus spoke with authority, not like all the rest. They had the religious people out there, and they talked and talked and talked, but you should do this, and you should go to church, and you should be this, and you should go there. But there was a difference. Jesus knew who he was, and he possessed something. He possessed the promise of God. That promise was, if you die, I'll raise you up again. When that happened and he possessed it, no devil could touch him. Couldn't touch him with sickness. He'd lay hands on the lepers and never get sick. How come? He would cast out demons out of others but never be possessed. Why? Why? Is he possessed the promise? He could walk on water and not drown. How is that possible? He was a man. He wasn't God down here. But he possessed something. The promise of God. No man could kill him. He had the promise. If you go to the cross. So Jesus did this. He went to the cross. On his own. No man could give. They couldn't even kill him on the cross. He could have stayed living on the cross. When he said it is finished. When he said it was finished. Not when anybody else said it. There's a lot of people out telling you right now, it's finished. You can't have that. You can't be healed. You can't have that. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. Yeah, well, I possess something you don't. I have a knowledge of a God who said he would not lie to me. And that knowledge has given me great grace and peace. And in that knowledge, I possess the promise of God. And God's promise will not come back void what he sent it forth to accomplish. You can say all you want. You can say all you want. And there's a bunch of naysayers sitting right next to us. Oh, it ain't going to work for you. Sorry. That ain't me. That might be you. And you can believe the lie. You can believe all this stuff going on. But I'm going to tell you what. I possess the promise of God. How do you possess that promise? First of all, you better hear what the Spirit is saying. You got to have ears to hear. You can't possess something that you don't know is yours. You can, and there's people reading this all day long. I look it up. I look up a lot of different people talking about different things. I was looking up something this morning on healing. And this person is going, well, you understand, he wasn't talking about physical healing. He's talking about spiritual healing. Yes, he was talking about spiritual healing. But whatever I can find in the promise in the spiritual realm, I can bring into the natural realm. And I can let this natural body be healed by the same word, by the same promise. They heal this spiritual man inside of me. Because whatever you have on the inside will manifest outwardly. The healing doesn't come from the out. It comes from within. When you possess the truth of God's grace to heal, you possess it's yours. And nobody can take it from you. Those two men stood up and said, we are well able to overcome it because I possess the promise of God. They saw the same things. They saw the big giants. They saw all the walled cities. They saw everything. Just like all the rest of them. Now how come there is going to be some here who are going to see the promise of God, possess the promise of God, and see the fullness of the promise of God, when others will sit next to them and say, it doesn't work. Because you are. When I started to put this up, I said, I was going to go, I am well able. I said, no, God said, no, that's not what I said. Because it's going to take just more than one. It's going to take more than two to get that victory sometimes. Amen? And when you think yourself, he said it, don't be haughty, don't be proud, don't go there, don't say, well, No, just say, okay, Lord, I thank you. But I'm going to possess the promise. That's the first thing you got to do. It's got to be made yours. You got to go, how do you possess it? Again, find it in here. Meditate on it day and night. That means you put cards up in the bathroom and you say it. You learn to read. Friday it was. I was somewhere and I was talking to this guy, a young guy. He's probably in his 20s, late 20s, maybe early 30s. We were talking about different things and I said, how we got on the subject, I'm not sure. I said, yeah, I'm 70. And he looked at me, he goes, 70? He said, you don't look 70. You know what I pray every time I go into the bathroom and brush my teeth? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. There's times I'll stop, and I'll start again because I know my mind is someplace else. Because when I bless God, I want to make sure my mind's on him. This isn't about me. This is really, bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his promises. Who forgives me of all my iniquities, cleanses me of all unrighteousness. Oh, come on now. Heals me of all my diseases. Who fills my mouth with all good things. And I name things that I want in my mouth. Chocolate cake, all this good stuff. The word of God. And you know, he's amazing because he does give me chocolate cake quite a bit. Anyways. Hallelujah. But the end of it, he renews my youth as an eagle. Amen. He renews my youth as an eagle. I can be 70 and still look 50. I'm only kidding. Come on. No, 45 at the most. No. Oh, I'm going to get it from this one. I know that. All right, listen. But see, I've taken that. It's in my heart. Amen? I possess that. That's mine. I got a psalm, Psalm 1. I possess that. I said, that's mine. When I first got saved, I saw that psalm. I said, that's mine. I possessed it. You find a promise. You grab a hold of it. And you've got to go over it and over and over until it gets so deep within your heart. No doubt. No unbelief. No unbelief. No double-mindedness. You can see the mountain, but all you can see is it cleared away. We're not saying that we deny facts, but we deny not saying the truth. The truth is, God's promises are yea and amen. He made that promise to me. It's my promise. And it will come to pass. We are well able to overcome it. We are well able. I don't care what the report is. I don't care how many people are around you. Don't want to go there. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to say it. Just say, we are well able. We are well able to overcome it. Doesn't matter what it is. I don't care. That's my promise. God made it to me personally. He personally spoke to me and told me that by his stripes I was healed. He personally told me that I will prosper you, spirit, soul, and body. He spiritually told me that I am saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's my promise. You can know it, and I said it to you before. You can have all the facts you want, but without the knowledge of your God, facts don't mean anything. And unless you possess God's promise. This morning, I hope in somebody in here, something stirred in you. Amen? Because there's some people who think, just because God loves me, He should do this for me. God said, I love you, and I did that for you. Now you have to possess it. And you're going to have to fight some demons to get to it. You're going to have to kick some things right out. Unbelief, doubt, fear, all these things are real. But they have no power unless we open them up to them and say, yes, go ahead. I'm going to fear today. Amen? Glory to God. How do we do? Amen. We have come to possess, not to be possessed. We have authority. If you want to have authority and learn to walk in authority that God gave you, first learn to come under authority.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying? All authority comes from above, Romans 13. That's where all authority comes from above. Well, I don't like them in authority. It doesn't matter. God didn't say if you like them, go under authority. Well, I don't like the pastor. It doesn't mean anything. I'm serious. You have to learn. Now, if that person is leading you in the wrong direction, then, you know, back off. Say, whoa, whoa, I'm not going there. But don't you dare attack God's anointed. Don't do it. Because you're not going to hurt the anointed. If he's anointed or she's anointed, you can't hurt them. They know where they come. They know what the calling is on their life. Paul went through all kinds of junk. He suffered greatly at the hands of the church. When he was in prison, almost no one went to see him. He only had a couple people go to see him. The man who, without his message, people were lost, but yet they rejected him. That's fine. But for you, don't you dare allow yourself to be caught up into that. Learn to come under authority, so when you begin to possess, and you say, that promise is mine, you're going to have to do some serious butt-kicking. You're going to have to kick that devil right out of there. I'm not talking about Satan. I'm talking about demons. They're real. They are real. And until you stand up by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony and not loving your life even unto death, you cannot destroy them. You cannot take authority over someone unless you finally come under the authority of Almighty God through Jesus Christ by the power of His word. And when you see things in your life that is not lining up with the word of God, you need to get rid of it. Amen. Reject it. Say, no, no, that's not me. Now, doesn't mean just immediately you're going to be free from it and all that, but it takes time and it takes effort. You're going to have to fight some good battles. But when you get the victory, it tastes sweet. Victory is much better than defeat any day of the week. You understand what I'm saying? With victory, there comes great reward. With defeat, they take all your reward. There's things that God wants to fill your quiver with. Some things He wants to fill your pockets with. Hallelujah. Amen? Glory to God. Oh, okay. Lord, give me one more. Don't go away. Just one. I'm talking, and if I keep talking, He keeps talking. I hope He's talking to you through me. Amen. I want to show you something real quick. You know these scriptures. Don't mind me. I'm looking. I got to find it. If I don't find it, you're not getting it. So, Lord, you better show it to where it is. Amen. I'm getting closer. Well, I got away from it again. Here you are. We found it. Listen to this. And then I'll close with this. I almost closed already, but. Hallelujah. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts. In other words, God speaking, like E.F. Hutton, open your ears. At least Dave got it. All right. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, God is listening. You know, God says He hears everything you say. And He writes it in a book, your words. We learned that. There's 6 books that God has in heaven. And in those books, your life is and your time, your length of days is written, but also every word that you speak is written in books up there. How many know you got some angels? I can see them now. I can't listen to that, but I've got to write it down. I can't listen to it. No. Amen. They don't want to hear what you got to say, but they got to write it down anyways. Holy cow. All right, you ready for this? I got to get off here. Time is not... Okay. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts. This people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. What is the Lord's house today? This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? They're saying not today. I got better things I got to do. I got to hurry up and go home and make dinner. Okay, listen. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. If we're not seeing the promise of God, let's talk about considering, okay, Lord, what am I missing here? What's going on? Because I know this. God said that he would meet all my needs. And matter of fact, he'd do even exceedingly abundantly above it. I know that God says you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I know that God said that if I love him and love one another, that all things are possible in Christ. Because remember what he said, when you stand praying, if you have aught against anyone, deal with it. God's promises are very conditional. Find out what, because every time you find a promise, you'll find the condition it takes to get there. And then learn to possess it. Amen? Okay. Let's just pray, and then we're going to take up our offering. Father, we again give you praise and glory and give you thanks. We bless you, Father. We give you honor and glory. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to hear your word. Father, I pray now that the seed of the word of God would go deep within the heart. And you'd give us understanding, Lord, so Satan can't steal it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now remember, we've got CDs. If you want to hear that, I didn't get all the notes. They're free. It's not like you got to pay for them.